It's always good to take an opportunity to share with you the words that God tries to place in my heart. This morning, the gospel reading is from Luke. The last portion of Luke's gospel, it's from the 24th chapter, beginning with the 36th verse. Listen as I read. While they were talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and terrified and thought that they were seeing a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you frightened, and why do you doubts rise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet, and see that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for a ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While in their joy they were disbelieving and still wondering, as he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be unified." Then he opened their minds and understood the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Son of Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day. And the repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, and see, I am sending upon you my Father's promise. You are witness to these things." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Will you pray with him for me, please? Gracious God, I pray that you would transform these moments when we're together in this place and on those viewing, that you transform these moments from that time into a time in which our hearts are more deeply moved to follow you and to search ways in which we can proclaim your name. We lift up your name now in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. The last verse triggers something in me. You are my witnesses. You are my witnesses of these things. Witnesses. Who wants to be a witness? How come we shy away from that? Best not to get involved, we say. If I say I saw something, then I may have to go to court and may have to testify. I don't want to do that. I don't want to be involved in anything. How many times that comment has been made in the awful line at the end of the tragic scene? It's just, that's just as recent news on the television news in Kansas and St. Louis, where a young girl was beaten. Now, the last I heard, she was still alive, but had brain damage at high school there, Hazelwood High School. And she was beaten so severely that she had brain damage. And the other students just stood around and watched. And when they tried to get someone to witness, no one would stand up and witness. Fortunately, they had cameras on duty. But no one would witness. No one would say they knew. That's the kind of day we live in. People don't want to be witnesses. They don't want to get involved. Jesus said to his disciples, "You are my witnesses to these things." They were involved. They had seen firsthand. They were eyewitnesses. They had heard his words. They had observed his deeds. They had seen his They had seen him as he tried to carry people through their wounded conditions to wholeness. They had seen him as he tried to condemn and as they saw him as he was condemned and executed and killed. They had seen all that. Yet even they tried not to be involved. Even the strong and rugged Peter, "I don't know him." Didn't want to be a witness. "I don't know him." Aren't there those of us who, those words to all disciples, also words to those who should be broader disciples? You are witnesses to these things. I thought in 1 John, later on in that 1 John's gospel, earlier than that, it was John's gospel. He writes, "I tell you these things because I have seen them. I have walked with him. I know these things to be true." He was trying to speak from a first-hand experience. We need to be able to respond from a first-hand experience of knowing how much Christ is alive in our lives. You are witnesses to these things. We're asked to tell the story. I was proud of myself. I even found out that I got on my internet last night and looked up the Presbyterian hymnal to see if the old song was there. I love to tell the story of Jesus and his things, of Jesus in his glory. I love to tell the story. And it is there. I think it's 469. I don't know how long it's been since you sung it. But it's a song that I was telling Arlene last night. My dad didn't have the kind of voice that you would do in a choir. But I remember I think it was our 50th anniversary, when Dad sang to Mom, "You Are My Sunshine, My Only Sunshine." But Dad, I remember Dad, time ago when I was away from home, but I came back to visit Mom and Dad, and Dad would be out in the shop, and Dad would be singing as he worked on the truck or the paper route. I love to tell the story of Jesus and his love. I love to tell the story. We have that story we need to tell. And if we don't tell it, I don't know who is going to tell it. That's part of the sadness for me. We're asked to tell the story, to tell it not as hearsay, to tell it not as they said, but to tell it in the old story way. I must tell you that there's a time in which we have the story, to tell that story from our own experience. The point is, we have a story to tell, and we need to tell the story. Because if you and I don't tell that story of Jesus Christ and his love, I don't know who's going to. Someone has said that we have a lot of Christians who show signs of an understanding, some sign of understanding, and yet say nothing of the great things that God has done in our lives. We must go beyond that in testimony. We must speak. Are you and I Christians unable or unwilling? How long has it been since you or I spoke of something of the love of Christ? Maybe not in a verbal outside way, even spoken of it in any kind of way. My wife made over 200 little butterflies to hand out in church on Easter Sunday morning that could be tell people how important it is. They take home and give them to friends and remind them that God loves them. And how well do we spend it? How often do we go away spending that word? We most of us would rather be the quiet Christians that don't say anything because we might have to get involved if we do. Usually when something good has happened, most of us want to tell somebody. I was just sharing with Brett's wife that back in, it's a good news to me that I was able to survive my heart attack. And we got a chuckle out of it because the woman I was walking with, Lisa Ellis, was a woman here again later on, was walking in, and she was dressed as a taco, and I was dressed as Olaf the Snowman. And she told me last time I talked to her, I can't help but wonder if anybody drove by what they would think of seeing a taco beaten up on a snowman. But God was good in that, and I tell that story proudly. Now, I'm going to mention it again a little bit later in different circumstances, but every event needs a witness. Every event needs somebody. There's a little boy, a grand boy, who had been going to prayer meetings with his grandmother. And being the caring little grandson that he was, he endured the prayer meetings to some extent, you might say, but he went with her. And then a circus came to town. And he, with his parents, went to the circus. He came home to see Grandma after that, and he said, "Grandma, if you've ever been to a circus, you'll never meet another prayer meeting." He wanted to tell how joyful that circus was. Excitement, he wanted to witness to that. We have a witness that we must make. Bad news needs a witness to prevent bad things from happening. We have a story that we must tell. We have a story that we must, if there's a case for Christianity, for Jesus is the case of God's enduring love and care for each of us, is there someone with a story to tell? Is there one of you that's brave enough to tell the story of God in your life? Is there one of you that's willing to be reminded of all the faith that you have and tell the story of God in your life? Or is it more comfortable sitting there in the pews listening to someone try to share the word? Are you willing to share that story? It's a story that must be shared. Who will be witnesses for the good news of Christ today? Who will stand up to say that the person of Jesus Christ is the most powerful truth for our world today? Is there someone whose life has been touched by God who will willing to tell the story? Jesus said, "You are my witnesses. You've seen it." How many of us have experienced something vital in our life by God in our lives, and yet we prefer to sit on it, afraid someone might make fun of us for trying to tell something like that? You are witnesses. It was tough on those disciples. Jesus didn't feel their normal way of thinking, just as Jesus doesn't fill our usual way of thinking. The disciples wanted to deal in concrete realities, things that you can touch and feel and count. They had no problem when Jesus was talking about how to treat your neighbors, or when he was talking about the law, or when he was making people well. There were crises there, concrete things. But now Jesus was asking them to bear witness to something almost impossible to believe. But they had seen it, and they were to talk about it. How could they convince anyone? Most of us would have responded just as they did, wanting more answers, wanting more proof. Someone put it, the dilemma well by saying, it would be so much easier to deal with a spirit. Spirits come and go, and we can deny them. Spirits come out of our past, and we can forget them. But this Jesus is no dream. No nightmare. This Jesus has our hands and our feet, a past and a future. This Jesus insists on flesh and blood living of God's love. And so we are called to decision, to believe, to accept, to act, and to witness with our hands and our feet and our witness with our lives. You are witnesses to these things, Jesus said. It has been well said that God's cause in the world is still dependent on witnesses, on people like us who are willing to get involved, willing to stand up and speak our convictions, willing to tell the story as we've experienced it in our lives. We may not be eyewitnesses to the resurrection story. We may be 2,000 removed from the New Testament stories. Nonetheless, we have our own experiences. We are among those times that miracles has happened in our lives. Most of us aren't very sure about what God is doing in our lives when we are going through troubled times. Yet, as we look back, we can always say comfortable that God was there. I met with Lisa Ellis, the woman who gave me the heart respiration. We were just getting ready to leave. We've been visiting for probably 45 minutes, maybe. And we were just getting ready to leave, and we stood up. There was another two women that were seated at a table. We were at Panera's, at that little area inside the door there to the left. And there were two women sitting there. And I spoke to one of them. I said, "Would you mind taking a picture of this woman and me, please?" And then one woman readily stood up. And I said, "This woman saved my life." And as I was walking in a walk a few months ago, she was going to give me artificial respiration, and she saved my life. And the woman who took the picture said, who was taking it, "Oh my goodness, what a miracle of God's love and grace." And I said, "Yes." And Lisa said, "Oh, I was just at the right person at the right place at the right time." She's not a believer. But I said, "Lisa, in my eyes, God placed you there, as God placed several other experiences in my life that day to realize that I was not through with this life yet. God placed you there." She was the right person at the right time at the right place. But we have to share the fact that she was not just that person. She was placed there by God, in our opinion, so that God could see work through my life still. Sometimes we aren't too eager to say that God is with me. We are more likely to say that we're lucky. Some lucky experience happened. No, that's not always true. It doesn't sound as pious as saying God is with me. And so God so often goes with our eyewitness, without our eyewitness, and the story fails to get told because you and I failed to tell it. God needs a witness in Rolla. God needs it's risky business to be a witness for God in Rolla right now. It may cost us something to be a witness to the truth and the power of the gospel in a comfortable church of today. It may make others uncomfortable. It may be safer to keep silent, as Peter did. If we're silent, the church can remain comfortable, socially acceptable, placid. We scan a world, avoid getting involved. I'm an old preacher. I can't deny that fact. I was telling Earlene the other day, for the first time in my life, I think I'm finding myself making too many excuses by saying I'm getting too old. But you know something? I know I'm an old man, and I know I'm an old preacher, but the gospel of Jesus Christ has not changed. The message of hope has not changed. The message of salvation has not changed. The message of God's love has not changed. And as long as this body's got breath, I'll stand up for it. How about you? Are we in this together? Amen.